The following program is intended as an educational program, not as investment advice or as a recommendation to buy, sell, or participate in any investment vehicle, product, offering, or strategy. Investment advisory services are offered through Turning Point Financial, a registered investment advisor. Any references to specific securities, investment vehicles, or strategies are intended only as examples, not as recommendations. All investments involve risk, including the possibility of losing money. Welcome to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. Do you ever wonder how your money and the things you own are actually helping you live out what you feel called to in your heart? There is so much peace of mind that occurs when you sense that your money is aligned with your values and convictions, as well as your financial goals. And there is so much potential for anxiety and worry and all the stuff that goes along with that when you sense that that alignment is not present.
That's right, James. But that can be easier said than done. There's so much financial information coming at us every minute of every day, and it can actually be overwhelming. Terminology, ideas and philosophies, various competing principles, and of course, financial products and services. Keeping all of this information straight can be downright confusing and possibly even scary.
Yeah, that's right. And when you're confused, you simply aren't making good decisions.
No.
And that can keep you from being all that God wants you to be, and it can hurt you pretty badly as well. Well, welcome to episode 52 of What is that?
It's our 1 year birthday.
Oh, that's right. Episode 52. That would be 1 year, and that was like the birthday sound.
That was a victory trumpet.
That was a victory trumpet. I like this one better.
Oh boy.
Party horn.
It sounds like aliens.
It sounds like aliens, but it was supposed to be a party horn.
But we made it 1 year.
1 year. That's right. Happy birthday to Money and Mission.
That's right. And they haven't thrown us off yet. So
that's right.
Thank you to the board, to the Joes, and everybody listening.
That's right. Well, I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio.
Do you want to admit that?
I have to every week.
That's right.
There's an FCC rule.
Yeah, that's right.
But each week in the first part of our show, we'll talk about some current financial events and so you all have a better understanding of what some of the terminology and events actually mean.
Yeah, you should turn your phone back over with the timer on it.
Okay.
Yeah, so we don't
run out of time.
Right, that's right. Anyway, part of the way through the show, we will also then come up to our weekly puzzler.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a drum roll in there too, don't you?
I got lost in the weeds.
Right. Joe is a drummer. Yeah, that's right. Well, anyway, a weekly puzzler.
Bring a drum and do it live.
Just for your weekly right. puzzler.
Just for my weekly
puzzler. A whole drum set in the corner.
That's right. But anyway, that's just a brain teaser, and we'll share it with you. We never know if our puzzler is interesting, but it's to you anyway, but it's interesting to us.
That's right.
For sure.
So let's jump right into our show and our week in review. James, where would you like to start off with some financial news highlights from this past week?
Well, it's been a busy week.
Seems like every week is a busy week.
It seems like every week is a busy week.
The headlines right. are strong.
That's right. Information highway is alive and well.
That's right.
With all of that stuff rolling in. Well, you know, we had like tariff, and now we're like rolling back the tariffs. I think I was telling you it feels like we're sort of circling around and eventually we'll get back to where we started.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we'll see
if it's any different or not.
Yeah. It's only been, what, 5 or 6 weeks?
Five or six weeks.
Some people are kind of losing patience. Other folks are saying, you know, we need some more time.
That's right. But the interesting thing to me is that the world is still turning.
Oh, yeah. The sun still comes up.
Right. I mean, if you listen to, like, you know, some commentators and different things, you would, it was like, oh, my goodness, all these tariffs, and the world is going to come to an end for sure, you know, on April 6th. Or pick a date. And clearly that didn't happen.
And then we're kind of out of the rut since Liberation Day. Mm-hmm. Kind of made up a lot of the loss since the beginning of the year.
That's right. Although the market, maybe made up the loss of since then, but we're still not as high as we were. Like, we're not back. We haven't exceeded our previous high anyway.
From last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's true.
So we're still down from there. So, you know, we will see whether this, you know, turns into more of an extended,
Business, you know, the markets want certainty.
The markets
do. Stop and go, you know.
Markets like certainty. Easy. That's right. And when things aren't certain, then everybody gets all excited and things. There's a lot of volatility.
And the trumpet horns come out.
The trumpet horns come out and the, not the party horns, but the trumpet horns. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, interestingly, we keep coming back and talking about the Purchasing Managers Index. And the reason the Purchasing Managers Index is important is that if purchasing managers, people who buy lots of stuff for businesses, if they're buying more stuff, it's because they think they have more sales coming. And if they have more sales coming, that means the economy is growing. And
the more they're buying, the more business they're conducting.
That's right. That's right. And the people, the businesses they're buying it from, of course, they need to have more help, which is more employment. And so, you know, when businesses buy large amounts of stuff, that drives the economy and it results in economic growth. So we look at the Purchasing Managers Index regularly just to get an idea of where we think the world is headed.
And we talk about it here on the show.
And we do. Mm-hmm. That's right. Clearly. That's right. We're talking about it. We're talking about it now. Right. Mm-hmm. So anyway, but, you know, Purchasing Managers Index for April was in contraction mode again.
So that means below 50.
Below 50. That's right. So for 2.5 years leading up to April, or leading up to this year anyway, Purchasing Managers Index for manufacturing anyway was in contraction mode. Then we got a little bit of expansion mode going on in January, February, and March, and now we have contraction mode again in April. So we'll see. I mean, it's not unusual. Statistically, when you have a trend, things never just go straight up or straight down. They usually meander. They go up and down and up and down. But if the trend is up, then it averages out to more up than down. And if the trend is down, you still have that up and down and up and down thing going on, but it averages out to be more of a downward trend. So we'll see if there is a reversal going on or...
And we want an upward trend. We want more activity generation.
We do want an upward trend.
A stronger economy.
That's right. Yeah, we like economies that are expanding and growing.
Businesses doing well.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yes, we all do like that. So interestingly then... The services, Purchasing Managers Index for services, is at 51.6% for April.
Okay.
And you know, if you're interested, you can read more about these by going to the Institute for Supply Management website.
So our manufacturing is contracting slightly.
Mm-hmm.
And our services, which we're already a service-driven economy at this point.
That's right.
That's expanding.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
what are your thoughts on that?
Well, lots of people providing services. It's always very interesting to me.
Which are consultants, they're lawyers, there's all kind of folks, people who come out and maintain the gardens.
That's right. But then there are people providing services to the people who are providing services.
That's right. They're dropping off Uber Eats for their lunch.
That's right. And then there are people providing services to the people who are providing services to the people who are providing services.
Yep. Technology for them to track their business so they can report for taxes. Just
restaurants,
one thing
places
leads to
for
another.
People to eat. That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so the interesting thing about this service economy.
Wow, we are all intertwined in services.
We are.
Yeah.
That's right.
All my subscriptions are service-based.
And that's everything's a service. So people providing services to people providing services, you can kind of...
If I actually buy something, it's on Amazon coming from outside the country, most likely.
That's right. That's right. And then, of course...
As and we're wondering why the PMI is contracting for manufacturing.
That's exactly right. So again, all this service going on to services, but... if the foundational piece that it's built on, manufacturing, if that keeps getting smaller and smaller, then the concern is that at some point the services are going to contract and deteriorate as well.
Yeah.
Right. Now, there's another little segment that the Institute for Supply Management keeps track of, and that is?
Hospitals. I see it on your paper.
You cheated.
That's right. You've been doing that for the whole year. So interestingly, I suppose, as we get unhealthier and unhealthier as Americans, we need more and more hospital services.
Yes.
And so hospital purchasing managers index.
More we pay for health care, mm-hmm. more we pay for prescriptions.
That's right. And of course, we have insurance to pay for all of that. So,
and that just keeps going up.
The insurance keeps going up. And the insurance companies keep paying. And that makes it possible to go buy services at a hospital.
Yeah.
So hospitals are continuing to expand at an even higher rate than services. So a hospital.
So anyone out there thinking about being nurses or doctors, there's plenty of opportunity.
There's plenty of opportunity. That's right. So the Hospital Purchasing Managers Index was actually at 55. Mm. So solid expansion going on there. Just not very much
so
going on.
Three times more than services expanding.
It is. That's right. So just not very much in the manufacturing side of things. So we really want to keep an eye on that. And
we don't really just want any manufacturing, right? We want like high quality manufacturing.
That's right. Yeah, as opposed to...
Well, just making widgets and things that really don't create value.
Low quality.
Yeah. You know, we do import a lot from overseas, and mm-hmm. everyone's like, well, we need manufacturing here. It's like, well, I think we need to be smart about it.
That's right.
And have high quality. That way the jobs are paying better, and mm-hmm. that goes back into taxes, the economy.
That's right. Yeah, and things that are difficult to make other places so we can stay competitive like that. Well, at the end of the day, though, you really want your investment portfolio to be structured in a way that takes advantage of the opportunities that are out there. So don't get run over by by the stuff that's happening.
Highlights you see on the news every day.
That's right.
It's scary.
They're scary, but make sure that you have a good advisor that's helping you to guide you through that. If you don't have a good advisor, you can always give us a shout as well.
That's right. Well, we're out of time in this segment. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where we are talking about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio.
And we are taking time to discuss at length, right, a book that we've been reading called...
The Eternity Portfolio Illuminated.
That's right.
By Alan Goddard.
That's
now,
right.
We've talked about this before.
This beautiful blue cover.
We've already done a two-part on this show, but we really think it's important, and we wanted to do a more deeper dive. So over the next three episodes, we'll be going over the book in more detail.
That's right. We'll be talking about that more. The first two episodes were episode 22 and 23, right? So if you're listening to Money and Mission on Spotify, you can go back through the archives there and look for episode 22 and 23. And you can also go to the archives here, the podcast archives on Holy Family Radio, and look up those previous episodes there. You can also go out to wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com, scroll down the homepage until you come to podcasts. And click on that, and you can listen to that as well.
As well as all the others.
As well as all the others. That's right. What would you say is the main point of the whole entire book? I mean, if we wanted people just to sort of take one thing away from this entire series of conversations.
I would say find your calling.
Find your calling.
Find what's important to you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's at some level, this just goes a little deeper than, hey, what are your goals?
Right.
You know, I mean, we all have these goals.
I got goals every day I wake up.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. But
your calling is from beginning to end.
That's right.
Of your
life. What really deep in your heart, what drives you, right? When your vision. Really understanding that. And we'll talk more about that. You know, I have a problem with nonfiction books. This would be described as a nonfiction book, right? Parenthetically, I only like to discuss books that have blue covers.
Really?
Yeah, because this has it. Okay, never mind. I'll stay focused on the script. But I have a problem with nonfiction books. Here's the point. When I get to a point the author is making that I really, really connect with, I get stuck on that point, and then I end up taking an entire year to read the book, even if it's not that long of a book to begin with.
Oh, boy.
So there's a sentence on page 29 of this book that I got stuck on. The author says, and I quote, "Investing money is the process of committing resources in a strategic way to accomplish a specific objective. Done properly, investing will take you from where you are to where you want to go. In financial planning, we think of investing in terms of a person's overall financial strategy," and that's where the quote ends. But, you know, how does that tie to this vision thing that we were just talking about?
I think very easily, actually. Surprised you got caught on that. What hung you up?
Well, it wasn't so much what hung me up.
Because you just plug in what your
vision,
calling is.
Your values. Like your strategy, your investing really begins with your values.
Yeah.
It begins with the things that are truly, truly important to you.
Instead of inserting that investment as I need X amount of money for a down payment for a house by X date.
Right.
This is insert that calling. I want to make a difference here.
That's right. Yeah. Although even the down payment for the house, I mean, there is something that is sufficiently important to you that you're willing to save up money for it.
Sure.
Right. And that's kind of, I think that's really an important kicking off point to really, if we say if there's very little that you take away from the conversation, remember that when that vision or that thing that is so important to you, when it gets to be important enough, then you start being willing to make sacrifices. You start being willing to give things up.
Like Dave Ramsey says, beans and rice.
Yeah. That's right, yeah. But when that becomes important enough, then you're willing to do other things to begin making that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, you'll
be able to tolerate a lot more pain.
That's right. That's how Holy Family Radio got here, right? Because there was a couple of people who said, we need to have this kind of resource right here in the diocese, and we're willing to go around asking people for money, to part with their money, so that this can happen. And we still ask for that, right? Even though last week was like the fundraiser. I mean,
that's right.
You can send money anytime.
That's right.
Yeah, not just that week. Yeah,
not just that week. Yeah. In fact, if you really want to surprise Joe and Joe, just send money out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. You know, back to the book. So, but again, as you become more passionate about your vision and your calling, and however you describe that, then you start developing the discipline to actually putting it into action. But interestingly, it doesn't really seem like a sacrifice, right? If something begins to mean
sacrifice, no, that's so commissioned.
That's right. Well, but you look at people who are like pursuing this vision. I mean, I enjoy playing.
No, that's your mission.
That's your mission.
Yeah. I was like, you don't look at it as if you're sacrificing something. If it's not a sacrifice, it's just an obstacle in the way of me getting towards me and my objective.
Right. That's right. I mean, I enjoy playing music. I love playing steel guitar and dobro, and I spend hours and hours and hours just sitting around playing music. And for a lot of people,
and he's all right. I'll just let y'all know he's all right.
He's okay. No, but really, what happens is the hours fly by, and I'm enjoying it because I'm pursuing something that means a lot to me. A lot of people would say, "Wow, look at all the time you're sacrificing!" Right? It's a bit, but it doesn't feel like a sacrifice because I'm pursuing something that means so much to me, and that's how a vision and a heartfelt mission and a value feels, right? When you begin to pursue that. And that's, if we don't get anything else covered in this segment, it's really focusing on that, because then what we do with our money starts to grow out of what we feel so deeply in our hearts.
And to get to these objectives, we have to invest.
That's right.
Right? That's right. Money's not just sitting around underneath the mattress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're putting it to work.
That's right.
So we can achieve our goals.
That's right. You're investing your money. You're investing your time. And anytime you expend something like that, you have an idea in mind, and the idea means enough that you're willing to.
Because a lot of people obsess about investing in itself, right? Like they mm-hmm. think of that as the game. That's mm-hmm. the objective. But that's not. That's just the means to the end.
That's right. That's right. It is only investing then is only meaningful in terms of your vision.
That's right.
That's right. The time spent.
And it should be integrated with your overall life goals and values.
That's right. That's right. If it's not, then money becomes an end to itself. And I think, you know, Jesus talked about this in Matthew 6:21. He said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also."
Yeah.
Right? The thing that you value so deeply that you are willing to sacrifice for it, you're willing to make time on your calendar, right?
But money has relative value, right? Its worth is measured by the ability to obtain something of value to the owner.
Right. In that way, it's a medium of exchange.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Which is probably the reason why we want money.
The personal core values must be the starting point.
That's right. That's right. Otherwise, if money becomes the value in and of itself, that is the love of money.
Yeah.
Which is the root of
all. We've talked about that on the show before.
That's right.
Various different, keeping up with the Joneses, the mm-hmm. love of money, your
That's
image.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
And all those kind of go out the window when you have a greater purpose that you're working towards.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. So we cannot say this often enough or strongly enough. You will be willing to spend money for the things you value.
And maybe we can just introduce the concept that giving is investing.
That is.
That's a form of investment.
That's right. When we get to the next segment, we should spend some time really just visiting that idea.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are some really specific kind of interesting paradoxes almost
mm-hmm.
In that. But let me just kind of finish these bullet points. You would be willing to spend money for the things you value. You would also be willing to save money for the things you value. And you are willing to plan for the things that you value. If you are not sure what your values are, or if you're having a hard time sort of quantifying that, just read all your checkbook transactions over the past year.
It'll tell you where your heart is.
Put it on a graph. That's right. Look at your calendar over the past mm-hmm. year. And this is a real heart to heart. You got to look at yourself and say, oh, my goodness, I didn't know, right? And I didn't know. Sometimes it's a real eye-opener.
Well, let's just wrap up that thought for now. And we're almost out of time in this segment, so let's switch gears.
And we're up to the weekly puzzle, my favorite part of the show.
So, James, what was the question and answer to last week's puzzle?
Well, last week's puzzle was this question: fortunes can change based on my daily perceived value, driven by millions of buy and sell decisions, reflecting confidence or fear about the future of business. Major news outlets report on my general direction constantly. What am I?
You got a guess, Joe?
No idea. Well,
the stock market.
There you go.
There you go. That would be the show, right? The stock market, right? So what do we have this week, Eric?
Well, this week's goes, lenders consult my summary of your past financial behavior before deciding to trust you with significant sums. How you've handled obligations over the years largely determines my strength, influencing your access to future opportunities. What am I?
Lenders consult my summary about your past financial behavior before deciding to trust you with significant sums. How you've handled obligations over the years largely determines my strength, influencing your access to future opportunities. What am I? If you know the answer, send it to radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com. We need to take a break and hear from our supporters. You're listening to Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720. Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio.
And we are talking about a book that we've really come to appreciate. It's called The Eternity Portfolio Illuminated. And author Alan Goddard did a fine job writing that book.
We thought so.
We thought so.
We're making five-part series out of it.
That's right. If you decide to look this book up and buy it, like, you know, on Amazon or in a bookstore somewhere, make sure you look for that blue cover.
And it influences how we conduct ourselves in our practice as well.
It does.
What the blue cover does?
The blue cover.
No, the book with the blue cover.
Yeah, the blue cover. That's right. We love blue covers. We're very influenced by blue covers. Joe's wearing a blue shirt today. So, okay. All right. Anyway, so we were talking about how important it is that your vision and your values become the basis for the decisions you make in your investments.
Absolutely.
And that making those investments is what gets you from point A to point B. So if you pictured that as an equation, you would have to say vision, meaning the values you have and the expected rewards, plus the strategy, that is the discipline and the wisdom. Put those two together and that equals investment results and rewards.
So that's the investing equation.
The investing equation. And
seems simple enough, but I think it's important to break it down and kind of understand what that means.
It does. It does. I wonder, this is not really on our outline, but do you ever spend time thinking about what exactly it is that formed your values?
I guess I never really thought about it deeply. Yeah. I kind of know. Mm. I think I know.
Yeah. Just to be aware, like,
that's interesting.
How did I arrive at a spot where that, whatever that is important to me?
Genetics plus environment.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. You know, why is a boot so important to me?
Is it?
It isn't.
Oh, it isn't.
But, you know, I was filling in a blank, you know.
But that Dobro.
That Dobro.
No.
That's right. Do not take away my Dobro. But, you know, why did that become so important to me? It's useful sometimes to think, I think, about how we got to where we are. And
so that would be part of your vision. One of your values.
That's right. That is one of your values. And you know, it's the expected reward of being able to produce that sound.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, which some people clearly don't like.
But to you, there's nothing like it.
There's nothing like it. That's right. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, It's true. To anybody, there's nothing like it. There's only one dobro sound. It doesn't matter. You don't have to like it. There just isn't anything else like it.
You don't have to like it, but there's nothing else like it.
There's nothing else like it. That's right. It could be a trumpet or a party horn like we played in the first segment.
But if you want those results from that investment, from your vision, your strategy.
Mm-hmm. That's right. The people who really initiated Holy Family Radio, I don't know that they had...
Or Tom Monahan.
We've
talked about that.
Ave Maria College. Yeah. I mean, I don't know that those folks, like especially for the radio here, they probably did not envision these massive screens that show all the different time blocks with the different segments here on the radio. They didn't probably envision Audacity being over there recording our podcast. They probably didn't envision that, but they had a vision for...
Well, that's not the mission. That's just a means to the end.
That's just the means to the end.
Mm-hmm. That's a medium of exchange paid for.
That's right.
Money
paid for that, and that stuff is making the mission possible.
By getting the message out.
By getting the message out.
Listeners.
That's exactly right. So that's how this works, this little thread that goes through mission, vision, expected rewards, strategy, discipline, and eventually results.
Right. So there must be some set of core beliefs that go into help shaping your values. And like you were saying, where does that come from? So what would they be?
Yeah. Well, say that again. I heard what you said, but my brain was kind of... On the next page.
We each have our values, mm-hmm. right? And we just know because we feel a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying, where does that come from? Not quite sure, but, we all have some set of core beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems that in this book, Alan Goddard was saying that there should be a set of core beliefs for faithful managers, stewards of God's money.
That's right. Before he even gets into a lot of detail, he talks about the importance of living life on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, we've talked about that.
Being intentional.
Being intentional.
Writing things down.
Having smart goals. That's right. It's just incredible to me. It seems like there are a lot of people who, like, they live life sort of reacting to what's happening around them.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
That
they sure do.
They just passively travel through. But a person who is clear on their purpose lives their life in a purposeful way.
And they're focused.
And they're focused on that. A family that agrees on their purpose lives life in a purposeful way.
Like the saying, keep your eye on the ball.
Keep your eye on the ball. That's right. Keep your eye on the target.
Mm-hmm.
A business that's clear on its purpose functions in a purposeful way. The way they set up their retirement plan reflects the purpose that they have in their business because they're trying to use the retirement plan not just to build up a lot of money for retirement, but they're trying to use it to support the relationships with their employees, right? A person who's, let's say, saving and investing.
Attract and retain better employees.
Better employees.
So their company can achieve more of their mission.
That's exactly right. But they do that very purposefully, right? And it's just incredible to me because a lot of times when business owners are sitting and thinking about things like their retirement plan, like that is the furthest thing from their mind, right? So,
and it has nothing to do with why they started the company.
That's right. That's exactly right. So, but an advisor who has good alignment there with and understands those values can help to bring that out in the conversation where the business owner is working at planning and setting up their retirement.
So that in itself can be a means to the end.
It can for
that company's mission.
It can. That's right. And so, I mean, that's just kind of this little parenthetical rabbit trail, but it felt like it was relevant that being purposeful is a way of then living out that vision. Woody Allen once said that 80% of success is just showing up.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, but that's not really being purposeful. It's just kind of being there because, hey, it's time to show up. So.
A lot gets done, though, and you'll figure it out. So I see where he's coming from.
Yeah, that's right.
But you're
right.
Not going to do anything great that way.
That's right, yeah. So in the book here...
And God doesn't want us just to show up.
No, that's right. He wants us to be following that purpose and
that's
the mission.
What the pastor talks about on Sundays. We don't want you just to show up on Sundays.
That's a very good point. That's right. Show up with something in mind.
You show up here to learn the lessons, to go out there to make the difference.
To make it happen. That's exactly right. So the importance of living life on purpose. And that really, you know, we're not even past page 3 in this book.
This might be a 4 or 5 part.
That's right. But you remember what I said earlier, I get stuck on a point and then it takes me all year to get through the book. So don't live, you know, don't just kind of live in a reaction to life coming at you. You know, understand why you value what you value. Pray about that, really. I mean, make it a matter of prayer to constantly be in front of God with the things that are important to you so that he has an opportunity to steer your life. And certainly, you know, then be purposeful and be looking at that big picture and structuring so that what you do with your investments, what you do with your planning.
And it's easier to be purposeful when you truly believe.
That's right.
Right? When you're convicted of something.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So at the higher that grows on your level of importance, the more you just employing the discipline to get there. It does not feel like discipline. It just feels like you are going for what you're looking for.
That's right.
That's right. So making sure your treasure is in the right place, your heart is in the right place, is just a big part of that. So
back to these core beliefs.
Oh, yes. That's
of the
right.
Faithful
we have to
manager.
Get back to our...
Because once you're convicted of those, and those are your beliefs, mm-hmm. then none of that feels like sacrifice.
That's right.
All of that feels less painful because you're focused.
Mm-hmm.
And we turn to Scripture to kind of, you know, dig in deeper on these core beliefs.
Right.
The first one, first and foremost, that God owns everything mm-hmm. and he controls wealth distribution.
That's right. And that's sometimes a very hard connection to make. It's a hard lesson to make because we feel like we're responsible. Like if we work harder, then we get more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, you know, if I work more hours, I have more dollars in my paycheck than if I'm working by the hour. And, you know, folks who are in a business of getting paid on business that they produce, like, you know, real estate agents and attorneys and...
And we're all at different spots, yeah. But the second core belief is that we must all give an account for our stewardship. You know, more is demanded from those given much.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. But just, you know, on that other point where, you know, we certainly put in effort, but God is the one who brings the opportunities and gives us the opportunity to gain wealth like that. And then, as you said, we have to give an account of not just our stewardship, but what did we do to get from point A to point B? Did we run over people around us? You know, did we just work ourselves silly so that and we didn't have time for things like family and so on and so forth?
And the book talks about how time is short, but eternity is really long.
That is a fact.
Yeah.
That is a fact. I've said once when we had young children, we would say sometimes the days are long, but the years are short.
Mm-hmm.
Or the days can be long. You know, and our kids
that was
now,
a motto in the Army, too.
Yeah, that's right. You know, our kids now are saying, I didn't make long days for you. No, that never happened.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Well, my goodness, we have just a few seconds left here, but time is short. Eternity is long. The pursuit of material riches is not really a valid vision and goal all by itself.
Mm-hmm.
Having money isn't wrong. The issue is purpose.
Well, we're all out of time in this segment. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720. where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio.
And we are continuing our discussion of a book titled The Eternity Portfolio Illuminated, with a blue cover. That's right.
More importantly, by Alan Goddard.
That's right. I can't let go of that blue cover. It's, for some reason, important to me. So, not sure how it became one of my values, but...
I don't think it is.
It's not really a value.
But earlier in the show, we talked about how we can look at giving as a form of investment as well. And a lot of times that we don't think that way, do we?
How is giving an investment? I mean, I'm giving something away. It can no longer belong to me.
Well, but if you're giving something away, isn't it going to the benefit of someone else?
Well, be going, I suppose, yes. It would be giving certainly to something that's important to me. Something became so important that I was willing to part with my money and not get anything back.
Or other resources. Someone was hungry, gave them food.
Right.
Someone Which was cold, you gave them blankets.
Or time.
And you're investing in them.
That's right. So
investing in community.
Mm-hmm. So I'm still putting money or time out there to work, just not doing it for my own specific benefit.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. And the author says that giving is the ultimate long-term investment.
The ultimate.
Mm-hmm.
And he I mean, that's kind of like an aha moment.
And he says it comes with unparalleled, risk-free, eternal returns.
There is no risk of default.
No, yeah, you've already forfeited.
So you've all given it away. I mean, it's no longer your problem.
Yep.
Right? If it gets handled badly, it's you gave it away. You let go of all the strings, right?
Right.
So that someone else could have that benefit. Yeah. But there's joy, though, in giving.
But why? Yes, there is.
There's tremendous joy in giving. And when we do that, we in some way align what's important to us with what's important to God.
And the book points out that this is often missed. So why? Giving isn't seen as a high priority category.
Mm-hmm.
And the opportunity for rewards isn't, I think, widely understood.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. It's like we need to, I think, shift our perspective.
High priority category.
Yeah. Shift our perspective on giving. We simply don't realize, I guess it's a problem, really, that we don't always realize what God's priority is on giving.
Mm-hmm.
And in that way, we get stuck on our own priorities.
It's one of his high priorities.
That's right.
Mm, I see.
We get to a spot where we feel like, I can't possibly give because of what I need, right? And that,
what we think we need.
What we think we need.
Isn't necessarily true.
That's right. That's right. And we were so focused on trying to get what we need. You know, Jesus said once, and I can't remember chapter and verse, but, you know, consider the lilies of the field, right? They don't toil. They don't spin. Yet your heavenly Father cares for them.
Mm.
And, you know, to live life like that, where we recognize, as we said earlier, that it all belongs to God. He's taking care of us. And that frees us up to actually be doing what's important to him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's, I think, so a problem certainly in giving is that we don't realize what God's priority is on giving. But another problem, I think you already said that, we don't understand the opportunity for rewards.
Yeah, and the book points out that, you know, obligation versus opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So obligation, you know, gratitude, worship, love for others, that's a good start. But desire for rewards, that's really what transforms values into vision for giving.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, if you have this sense of obligation, you know, I have to do this, I have to, that is not a vision.
No, an opportunity. Well, if it works out, it works out. Obligation, it must get done.
That's right. Well, it must get done. But an obligation usually is like you feel like somebody else is putting
imposing
it, on,
it
you.
On you.
That's right. Uh-huh. When that turns into a vision, then you are being motivated by that vision. And the importance of having that become your vision is you kind of catch a picture of what God's vision is, right? And then that gets infused into you.
Well, one good motivating factor is that the Bible promises blessing for generosity.
That's right. Although, yes, that opens a can of worms, right? I mean, we don't give, we're not generous so that we can get all this back, right? But it does tend to work
in
that
the form
way.
Of heavenly reward.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. So, but again,
so what about seeking rewards? Is that selfish? What would you say?
Well, I mean, that's an interesting question because we all do the reward. There's always a reward, right? Which is just our intended outcome. So if my reward is that I have gotten to see some other people be blessed, then that is a significant motivation for my giving.
That's right. And I see here in my notes at a chapter 2, it says that the ultimate reward is knowing God.
Mm-hmm.
And that no, seeking reward isn't selfish. God designed that motivation, and eternal good aligns with his glory.
Yeah. Now, if I am seeking a reward, I mean, let's say that I would love to be, you know, I would like to have my name on a brick in a in a building.
Not even your name, your face chiseled into the brick.
Into the brick, right? You know, you've seen these buildings, right? You know, this brick was donated by such and such. I mean, this is great. I mean, we recognize.
Or the window panes at church.
That's
I
right.
See that often.
Yeah. I mean, we recognize people who are charitable, and we should, right? I mean, we should say thank you to them. But if my motivation for giving is to get my name on a brick.
And God knows.
Or a rock, right? Or a bench or whatever, then that's my motivation. That's where my treasure is. That's my reward. And my reward really should be where God, you know, to be pleasing to him. Like that. Okay. I'll stay focused on our comments here that we have planned instead of going off on these little rabbit trails.
No worries. And, you know, and the author also argues that God designed us to respond to rewards, right? To motivate us to work for food, the promise of eternal reward, like I mentioned earlier, you know, to prompt generosity. He wants us to give. He wants us to be intentional givers.
Mm-hmm. And to have, I mean, this whole thing, again, of being intentional, as we said, to not just kind of live life reacting, but to be purposeful.
Right.
And to actually plan, you know, when you actually plan to give, this is really where I think the eternity portfolio concept is headed, that you deliberately plan and organize your life so that there is something there to give.
Yes. And also, I think we should maybe go back and recap on those core beliefs again.
Well, the core beliefs.
Because that's really what drives this.
Mm-hmm. Core beliefs and the values. If you don't have those values and are not so important to you that you are willing to take action steps, then you're not going to.
Absolutely.
So the core belief first, and this is so core, right? God owns everything.
That's right.
And he controls wealth distribution. He gives us the ability to get wealth. We must never, ever forget that.
Mm-hmm.
Then secondly, I guess.
You know, we talked about having an account for our stewardship.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Needing to give an account of why we did what we did and the actions we took and didn't take, really, for that matter.
And additionally, God expects more of those who are given more.
That's right.
He truly does.
That's right. But then, you know, time is short, right? That's kind of a third real value in there. Time is short. Eternity is long. So when we're living for eternity.
Because there's no time in heaven.
That's right.
There's no clock ticking. There's no nothing next. That's
right.
The end.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
I mean, sometimes you may feel eternity, like depending if the pastor's sermon or is not, you know, as motivating as you wish it would be, it may feel like an eternity, but it's not.
Right.
It's not. That will be over. It'll be over shortly. Well, a fourth real core belief then is that pursuing material riches is not a valid end goal in and of itself.
No.
Right. I mean, you can make it an end goal, and it would be a goal, but then you end up being consumed by the love of money, and it leaves you at a spot where you feel like you're often, you know, you've climbed the ladder, and you climbed the ladder, and then you find out that it's propped against the wrong wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not the end goal. It's a means to an end.
That's right. Yeah. So God's two main objectives for money, then, are to invest in family and to invest in others.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Absolutely. No, I think those core beliefs are so critical, because that's what helps push you through and put those blinders on. That's not get distracted. What's on the news, what your neighbors have. Mm-hmm. You're focused. You have a calling. Yeah, you have your vocation, you know, you have your job, and then you have your vocation, and one is what you're called to. So I know my pastor used to talk about that. He said, I go to my job to make money so I can give back towards what I'm called to, my mm-hmm. vocation.
That's right.
And that always, you know, opened my ears a little bit.
That's right. But, you know, after you've kind of reviewed and said, okay, look, I'm really focused on these core beliefs and these core goals, you check your calendar, you check your checkbook to see if you're actually in alignment like that. Don't get distracted,
mm-hmm.
right? Don't get distracted. It's super easy to get distracted. And then, you know, a week goes by, a month goes by, whatever time goes by, and you find that, oh my goodness, the things that I really value are still not in alignment with where I would really like them to be. So again, don't get distracted.
No, absolutely. And then, you know, I think this was a good episode, good to set it up. You know, next episode we'll shift from the why more to the how, exploring different practical steps of planning and then, you know, funding your own eternity portfolio and what that looks like for you.
And how that looks like and how you start taking action steps to put that in place, right? So make sure you tune in again next week, and we'll look forward to continuing the discussion then.
Yes. Well, thanks for listening, everybody, this week. Excited to be with you next week. You're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.